Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonnywell joining us from the world headquarters of the Gundale Cherry Creek Chronicle, where they
are plotting the new
world headquarters, where they are plotting to overtake the world.
Yes.
And probably he could someday do so. So couple of things. First, I want to thank Mark Pa for filling in for us on Monday and hope everybody had a great 4th of July. But Chuck, it's looking kind of increasingly like Victor Marx is going to be the Republican candidate for governor. I have to admit, I said a long time ago, it's like, you know, I didn't know, right? Was the support for him sock puppets or was it real? Well, it turns out it was pretty darn real.
Real enough. I mean, you know, he pulled off what I think is a pretty big upset. I mean, odds makers had him a favorite just simply because he gave out a phony poll and they believed it. But he got 40+% of the vote. And Barb Kirkmeyer only got 40%, a little below that, with the 20% going to the third, who's the conservative candidate. So really, the grassroots had 60% of the votes and the rhinos had 40% with Barb Kirkmeyer. So it's shocking that, you know, Republicans don't want the rhinos. You know, if you want a Democrat, you can just go over and get a Democrat. They're more than available. What I think killed Barb Kirkmeyer is that normally all the Democratic leaning liberal vote in the Republican primaries because they're the only ones. You know, Democrats almost never have contested primaries, and so they dominate the Republican primaries because, you know, Republicans constitute, 22% of the entire voting populace. But here, there's a huge number of contested elections and big ones where Michael Bennett got upset and the dying to get upset. So instead of voting and interfering in the Republican one, they decided to go home where they belong. And they voted for the big progressives. But those 300,000 people who normally would vote in the Republican primary, a couple hundred thousand, didn't. And I think that killed Barb Kirkmeyer.
Well, and I think, you know, a couple of things just to clarify, we don't know for sure yet, right? As it stands right now, Victor Marx has about a 2,000 vote lead. That is more than enough to not have to have a recount. On the other hand, tonight being Wednesday, is the deadline for all the votes to come in to be cured. The overseas votes still have to be counted. My impression is that all of that should be done by tomorrow. So I think I'll have a much better feel. I will say neither side, they're both playing it very safe and stable, right? Neither side is claiming victory. The Associated Press, none of the media organizations are declaring a winner. But it certainly, there isn't anything to suggest that there's some giant pool of votes for Barb Kirkmeyer that's going to come in. But I think there are two kind of big lessons in this, and you hit on it. The first one, the fact is that when you look at it, this race was pretty much pure Republicans. Like you said, we didn't have the meddling unaffiliated voters or the meddling Democrats voting in this election. It was probably just solely Republicans. And what happened in it is the Republicans said, we don't want the rhinos. 60% said, we don't want the uniparty rhino establishment candidate. We'll vote for Victor Marx. I mean, the Scott Bottoms people were always probably going to vote for Victor Marx. For Scott Bottoms, rather. Not clear who the Victor Marx people would have voted for, but they clearly did not want Barb Kirkmeyer. And she's been around long enough that people know who she is. She knows what she stands for. They either like it or they don't like it. And I think Colorado Republicans have been saying soundly today, you know, in this election, are saying, we don't want you. We don't want you, uniparty establishment.
Well, Barb Kirkmeyer had an F on the Liberty scorecard. And she said she'd never heard of it or, you know, her pathetic excuse when he was with the Jeff and Bill show. But an F on the budget committee. She's responsible in part for the hideous budget we have. And she's all part of a group of elected officials got elected with by Democratic votes, and so.
Well, she wants to get rid of the caucus and assembly system.
Of course she would.
She wants to get rid of the Republican Party.
She wants to go to a jungle primary if she possibly
could. I'm going to say to the RINOs and the establishment people, quit trying to force your stupid candidates down our throat. We're not going to vote for them. We're not going to vote. So they say, oh, you have to hold your nose and who vote for whoever the candidate is. Well, both Kirkmeyer and Bottoms, I'll say, have both said they will not support Victor Marks. But that sort of shows you where the Uniparty establishment is always like that. Anytime someone outside of their inner power circle wins, yeah, they refuse to support him. And in fact,
then when they win, they go, unity, unity, you have to be, you know. I mean, it's just, they are an amazing one-way group that, you know, you have to unify with them when they win. And when you win,
Colorado Republicans are saying, not doing it anymore. Which to me lends a ton of support to the caucus and assembly system. It's like the Colorado Republicans are saying, we don't want dark money donors selecting our candidates for us. We want to go ahead and select our own candidates. And if you let us select our own candidates, guess what? We will vote for them. So, you know, when they say no one would vote for him, it's like the other lesson, I think, and what are your thoughts on this, is no one is paying attention to the Denver media. I mean, Kyle Clark and KUSA couldn't have been more anti-Victor Marks.
Or
right?
Rhino Radio, which includes our good friend Peter Boyles, but also includes, you know, Michael Brown. He was all in a Twitter. The horrid Mandy Connell, who somehow thinks people care what she...
Even though she's not a Republican. On.
Ross Kaminsky, Rush to Reason. I mean, you just go down the list.
Denver Post, Krista Kafer.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, everybody went, we don't care what you think, you know.
I'm going to take a step further and say, I don't think people even knew what they thought, because no one is watching or listening to those organizations.
That's
Nobody was. I mean, you guys, you were on the phone in a completely unrelated conversation earlier today talking about the Denver Post, and the person on the other side was, what the Denver Post does or doesn't support, what the Denver Post does or doesn't write, is irrelevant because no one's reading the Denver Post. Same thing with KUSA. I mean, Fox beat him in the ratings. It's like, no, Kyle Clark, whatever he says or doesn't say, it's not even so much of people were ignoring him. I'm just, or not listening to him. I'm not paying attention to what he was saying. I don't think people were even aware of what he's saying, because no one is even, Kyle who?
Well, I can tell you, I listened to that debate. And you know, let's concede that Victor's a bit of a fraud, right? Yeah, he's a bit of a fraud. Okay. A lot of politicians are. He's maybe more than most. But after the haranguing and the snide comments and everything else, I can tell you, I said, I'm voting for, you know, I voted for Scott Bottoms, but I go, if he wins, I'm voting for him in the general election, because Kyle Clark can go stick it.
Right. Well, and even if he did go stick it, no one would know. So I think that's just kind of interesting. These two organizations that have had this almost sort of mythical power, you know, that you perceive as both, you know, the mainstream.
And they even did a partnership together. I'm not sure they still have it, but they consider themselves, you know, they partner for the news.
So you had the mainstream media, and then you had the Uniparty establishment who have had and maintained power in Colorado. And all of a sudden, they are the ones who are irrelevant, you know. Which I think has a lot to do with Victor Marks's rise. Here was somebody who was, I mean, I'm like you. I did not vote for him in the primary, but I voted for Scott Bottoms. But I'll vote for him in the general. I mean, he's certainly, I don't care what his deal is, he's got to be better than Phil Weiser. I mean, you know, turning Colorado.
Anything is better than Phil Weiser.
Huh? Yeah. I mean.
And Domi is better than Phil Weiser.
Diana DeGette is better.
Yes.
But I think it is just interesting. And, you know, the others, I don't know what the RINOs are going to do about it. You've got the congressionals, but I think they don't count because they have so much money in the RNC, and they're going to stay RINO, Uniparty establishment on certain, you know, they'll support Trump when the people who control and pull their strings don't really care about the issue. But if it's an issue they care about, then they'll pull their strings, and then they'll oppose Trump and the MAGA thing. But otherwise it was just interesting to me. Just that how irrelevant sort of two for the media and the Uniparty establishment.
The two kings of print and television have become kind of like, we don't care what you think.
No, exactly. Now, you know, Jeff Hunt at KNUS, 710 KNUS, I don't know, you got Peter Boyle, who was anti-Victor Marks, Jeff Hunt, who was pro-Victor Marks, so I don't know how much impact that had.
Well, I mean, everybody, I mean, it's pretty clear that, that Jeff and Bill were, you know, they have a new owner of the station who is this distribution fund who's down in Colorado Springs, and I would imagine they were big supporters. So, you know, Jeff was, you know, very pleasant to the Barb Kirkmeyers and everything else. But, you know, he is one of the very few, I would say, maybe the only one that was pro Victor Marks.
Right.
But he ended up being proved right. I mean, who knew?
Well, I think it does say something, again, about, you know, where the Republican Party is. But to me, I don't read it. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't read it as this was a massively, how do I say this right, pro Victor Marks, so he's a Republican Party savior. I think there were a lot of people who just don't like what's been going on in the Republican Party anyway, and that Victor Marks was sort of a protest vote on their part.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to know. You know, there are two in baseball. They have what they call the Mendoza line, which is this infielder who played for, I don't even know who he played for. But he was so bad in the batting backs. He's a great fielder, but so bad. He was considered that you could still play in the major leagues as, if you're above the Mendoza line, which is what his career batting average was. And sometimes it expressed his real career batting average was like 211 or 210. And sometimes it expressed as 200. Because if you can bid above 200, maybe you can stay in the major leagues. But Victor Marks has two lines, similar to those two lines. He has one, the Kirk, the Heidi Gnall line, and she lost by 22 points, I think, even though she, you know, everybody said, oh, she'll be perfect, she'll be great. So that's bad. But even worse is the Dan Mays line, and he got like 12%. So it's Victor Marks going to get above the Dan Mays mark. Now, if he goes under 10%, Republican becomes a non-major party. And I'm not sure that hurts you, because a major party, all they do is you get to have, they pay for your primary that they control and tell you who wins and loses. So maybe you're better off not being a major party and have them
can opt out. Election. We can opt out all we want if we're not even a major party.
Yeah, we can do whatever the hell they want. So that's,
you know,
that's
here's the thing. Victor Marks, even though there were a lot of questions about the money and the, you know, who was donating and stuff like that, the money was real. And so
kind of.
Well, I mean
he had a lot of questions on that too.
Well, there does appear to be financial support for Victor Marks. So it'll be curious to see spending, because I can see the Democrats thinking they don't have to worry about it very much, right? So they don't
worry about anything.
Well, yeah.
I mean, honestly, what do they worry about?
I think Victor Marks, I don't think he's going to win.
I don't even know. Who's our candidate? I don't even know who our candidate is. I know we have the streak, or whoever's name is, for treasurer. But so anyway, you know, Republicans, they've rigged the system so badly. They have so many votes going to P.O. boxes and homeless shelters, and they fill them out. And, you know, they've overdone it. You know, you don't want the Washington Generals to be so pathetic that it's not even fun. And they've turned it so pathetic.
Well, that's why Weiser is so disingenuous. And he's like, I wish the Republican Party was better, because then we'd have fair elections. It's like, and then you would rig it.
If they ever won, you'd rig it so they couldn't.
Want to talk about one other thing, too. This is a little bit in the weeds, but I think it kind of all ties together. The kerfuffle of that new COGOP chair, Craig Steiner, has created.
It gets worse every day.
Yeah, you know, with the way he's...
You know, in our generous, helpful mood, as we always are, you know, we were willing to cut him a break. We said, yeah, but he's going to be great. He's going to win. Boy, he has tanked it for vis-a-vis and shit. He's announced, hey, I'm just a goon for the RNC and the establishment in Colorado. Don't have any question who I really am. I'm not for anything, you grassroots. I'll say I'm for the opt-out, but I'll do whatever I can to destroy it.
And that's what I'm going to say. And that ties into the fact that, so clearly, 60% of Colorado Republicans do not want the uniparty establishment line. And Craig Steiner, his latest actions on this rally reveal that's totally who is controlling him. So what the deal is, guys, is President Trump, this is a good idea, wants to stir up some excitement for the midterms. President Trump loves a great rally. So he proposed holding not a convention, but a rally, I think in September.
Well,
in Dallas,
the midterm convention. Yeah, right. But you can call anything. That's, you know, words.
It's not
are,
a real convention,
you know,
that people are.
The words are what I say. So a convention sounds a lot more important than a rally.
You know,
rally sounds like.
Convention. That's a good point. Yeah, that sounds important.
I'll be a delegate. I'll be a delegate to the convention as opposed to attendee to a rally. But in this case, they're exactly the same.
Right. But I mean, it's a cool thing. And we were at the convention. You know,
we were in a real convention.
It was kind of fun. And I'm sure that the Trump people will produce something very similar. It'll probably be really dramatic.
No, it won't. Well, the conventions are at least a little more real than that. But anyway, it'll be
a well-produced rally. But here's the point. So the Trump administration and the RNC contacts all of the state party chairs, including Craig Steiner from Colorado. And they say, okay, you guys are all going to get, we want to help this be a fundraiser. So you guys are all going to get a certain number of tickets that you can then sort of sell to donors who will donate. And then those people will get seats to the convention / rally. Apparently the RNC...
But they're going to have to pay for their own hotel room. They're going to pay for their airfare. I mean, we did that for the convention. Nobody paid our way, but it was a historic thing. So we were happy to do it. But it wasn't inexpensive, I can tell you that.
Well, and the thing is, though, the whole point was, though, this was to help parties raise money. A couple of things. One, we have no idea actually how many tickets Colorado was allocated.
I was told 58, but you never
know. So 58. So, okay, that sounds about right, right? When you think of it, when we went, I mean, there were a ton of people there. Why have it if you're only going to give 10 tickets? Because Craig Steiner is raffling off about, not raffling, but he's doing the random drawing of like 13 tickets. So if you're going to give each state just 13 tickets, that's a pretty pathetic rally, right?
Yes,
so apparently what happens is the RNC mentioned to all of the states that there were way more rich Californians than there were California tickets. So that's always right. So if the state, if Colorado wanted to sell basically its tickets to Californians, they could do so, thus screwing Coloradans who wanted to attend the rally. And so Craig Steiner said, I'll do that. That seems like a good idea to me.
I'll sell to California people.
Yeah.
Attorney Clenda, that, you know,
you're right. That's part two. The fact that any money the Colorado Republican Party raises at this point is going to go to Steve Clenda. So why would you even want to? I mean, that's sort of the elephant in the room. But so Craig Steiner, from what we can tell, basically said, I will screw Colorado Republicans yet again, and I'm going to sell the tickets to this rally to rich Californians. I'm going to take that money.
I can't blame him.
And I'm going to take that money and I'm going to give it to Steve Clenda. It's like, there we go.
Hiding in a secret account that Clenda doesn't know about or something. I mean,
the way I understand it, you can't do that. I mean, that court here.
You can't do that. Yeah, that's what politics are. You can't do that. Yeah, okay.
I guess you could say this was a fundraising, so it goes someplace else. It didn't go to the, who knows? Maybe it'll go to the RNC and then the RNC will pick Colorado. But it's just another, so what it finally comes down to is out of the roughly 60 tickets that we suspect Colorado had, basically 50 of them are going to be going to California.
Yay!
And Craig Steiner is going to this Saturday, raffle off, but you could submit and they'll do a drawing, and 10 people from Colorado, they're calling them the grassroots delegates.
The poor folks.
The poor folks who can't afford to buy the ticket, right? So they will get, there'll be 10 Coloradans who will get to go to this rally. And I think an author doesn't like that. Now, you can tell Steiner understands that no one trusts him because they're live streaming it. They're doing it, you know, in public because, you know, and he knows no one would trust him with whoever he drew. But it's just ridiculous. The way I understand it, too, not only that, But Eric Grossman, who spent a ton of time and money when he was the acting chair and is still vice chair and is spending time and money, Russ Andrews, who also spent a ton of time and money, right, won't be getting tickets. Because we don't want, number one, we certainly don't want Eric Grossman going because he's grassroots.
No, he's a grassroots guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And Russ Andrews, he's been willing to express some concern about the way things are handled if he doesn't agree with it too. We don't want anyone going to this rally that is, and you know, it's too bad. I mean, I don't think
it'll be 50 rich California guys and 10 dead broke Colorado people going.
Yeah, 10 broke Colorado rhinos. You know what I mean? Who will coincidentally.
Oh, the rhinos pulled another one. Hey, it's a rhino.
Craig, again, given the fact that all of the money is going to go to Steve Klenda, why not just go ahead and support the Republican Party Republicans? And you know what I mean? And say, we're going to have 60 folks. It's going to be a blast. We're going to, you know, he told me, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to get rallied for our candidates, blah, blah, blah. And so he's like, nope, we're going to give it all the rich Californians who are not going to actually care about Colorado. And they're not going to, you know.
They're not. They're Californians. I mean, you know.
Right. That's just give their money to Steve Klenda. So I don't know. I don't know why. To me, I think this is just, again, another sign of the RNC and people on the East Coast essentially taking control of the Republican Party, not just in Colorado, but around the country. Now, some states are strong enough to withstand it, but Colorado under Craig Steiner certainly is. Dave Williams was, which is why they're spending all this time and effort and energy on getting rid of Dave Williams.
You know, as I said, I can't really blame Steiner. I mean, he's got no money to even send things out. I mean, he can't even pay for gas. So he sold his soul to California rhinos. I mean, well, it's okay. I mean, of all the awful things that Steiner's done to our attorneys, they got rid of the one, you know, the few good ones we had. And now they've got Ann Gill, who's an appellate attorney making these filings in Denver and doesn't appear
trying to get the judge to overturn his settlement to
Doesn't know you have to confer with the other counsel and doesn't know you have to make entry of appearances and all those little teeny details that if you don't do trial work.
Oh, because she's an appellate lawyer, so she was unaware of.
Well, who knows? Maybe she is. Maybe it's just who knows. That'd be too mean to say. But she's primarily an appellate attorney and a good one, but she doesn't do trial work too much, I'm told. But anyway, so
the fact that to me it says again, I think Steiner wants to somehow bury this, and because he fired the attorney that was hired not by Dave Williams but by Eric Grossman to who had a fairly aggressive policy, aggressive plan,
right, great strategy. Yeah, he got booted out.
Right.
He said, you know, you're not taking my advice anyway. I'm not getting paid. I quit.
So again, keeping in mind that really, I think this goes back to what we've been saying, the uniparty / establishment / rhinos want to make, in particular, the Colorado Republican Party completely irrelevant. So that's what they're doing, right? They don't want them rallying in Dallas. They want Californians paying to rally. It's like, talk about pay to play. Well, it doesn't get much more blatant than that. And normally, at least in pay to play schemes, you have to at least be a Coloradan, but apparently not anymore. Maybe when they go to jungle primaries, that's the same thing they'll do.
Yay,
they'll raise money.
The jungle primary.
Well, but I mean, in the jungle primary, they'll let Californians run, right? It's like, hey, you don't have to be a Coloradan to run in a Colorado race.
I don't know. I'd rather have them than Barb Kirkmeyer. I mean, you know, let's run California in our primaries because, you know, as I said, they've so rigged this. They overdid it. I told Ted Trump, you guys overdid it with all the sending out the dead citizen ballots at 22, you know, there was a former candidate for clerk and recorder that was did a great job of telling everybody, oh yeah, here's 30 ballots to go to this. And they overdid it, so now it's not even a contest. I mean, there is no contest for any statewide office. There isn't, you know. And no matter how awful the Democrats are, you know, I'm Democrat, socialist, or whoever else, you know, the former Secretary of State is just a reviled figure. She's not going to be AG.
Oh, yes. So that's what she can decide. She doesn't have to investigate herself as Secretary of State, right?
Yeah, that's right. She doesn't have to indict herself.
You got to wonder if that's what's going on with the Graham Plattner thing, right? I mean, so the New York Times, everybody knew about all these horrible allegations, sexual assaults, rape, all kinds of misconduct stuff. And the New York Post, I mean, now they go to town when it's a Brett Kavanaugh, totally fictitious kind of thing, right? But here they have all of these witnesses who say this and like, well, it wasn't credible. We couldn't find enough credible witnesses. So we decided not to publish it. But now that he's trailing in the polls, maybe, now we can talk about it. And Politico did.
It is a total setup. It was set up from the beginning. And when she tried to get it done in the New York Times, they said, quiet, it's too early. No, we got to wait till a Biden-esque kind of thing just before the end. So we don't have to have a convention or something. We just choose the person.
Right.
You got it too early. And then it comes out in Politico. Oh, okay. We'll give it to Politico. Sure. And then it's kind of like, oh, and I've got all these people that I wrote him a letter to my therapist saying, hey, I got raped yesterday. That wasn't much fun. They go, well, see, that's, and the new test. Here's the new test. The old test back in the old days of Clarence Darrow and way beyond back then, we used to say a person is innocent until proven guilty. And to be proven guilty, you have to have beyond a reasonable doubt, right? That was the standard. Until then, they're innocent. The new one, which is the Kavanaugh test, is if it's credible. What's credible? Credible. I mean, it could possibly be true as opposed to beyond a reasonable doubt. It could possibly be true. And in Kavanaugh's case, it wasn't even that, but not that it bothered him.
Well, it was credible because he was a Republican, right?
Yeah.
In this case, it's a little tricky because he's a Democrat. And I think you're right. And I think he's holding out. It's going to be like Biden, though. They're going to appoint somebody. And then again,
apparently he's going that up because he wants somebody he wants to say because he can wait. And then they'll have to, they print up the ballots and they can't do anything about it in theory. But he's saying, I want another, Democratic socialist or whatever. And they're going, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to somebody.
Well, they had to gear up their machine, though. I mean, that's the thing. It's we were talking earlier back to the Victor Marx race. If it were the general election and Victor Marx was narrowly winning over the Democrat, magically by tonight, there would be like a $50,000 Victor.
Kirk Meyer was a Democrat. She would have all of a sudden 3,000 votes would have magically appeared.
Yeah, 3,000 more. There'd be more votes than there are voters in Colorado would have magically appeared.
All the Cava votes, all these overseas people. We love Barb Kirkmeyer.
Well, and that's kind of like why we prevail or we keep hanging in there. It's like somebody has to try to protect Colorado from the uniparty establishment, or at least not protect, but stand up, totally taking
over. Well, just let people what's happening so they don't have to listen to Rhino Radio or Colorado politics. They basically disappeared. I mean, they're behind a paywall most of the time. And same with Denver Gazette and the Colorado Gazette and all the other Phil Anschutz ones. You wouldn't know anything's going on.
Right.
You don't hear anything. I mean, just go to Colorado politics.
Well, they'll gear up for the ballot initiatives because, as we've said before, that's their strategy now is they use ballot initiatives. They don't bother with elected officials because that's kind of pesky and you have to keep redoing it. But if you can get a ballot initiative in there, you just create your own law. Who needs legislators when you can just go in and create your own? Okay. Well, with the final thing, we'll have to see. I imagine that. I don't know how much clout. I guess he does have clout. He can just kind of be like Biden and just refuse to resign, right? And he seems like I think Biden, I don't think, really knew what was going on. So other people maybe decide, okay.
Had to tell him.
Yeah, but I think, Plattner, I could see him just sort of saying no. He doesn't seem like a very pleasant guy to begin with. And so,
he doesn't look like a pleasant guy, with the Nazi symbol and so forth. That was okay. You often get drunk and get a huge... It's called a Totenruf, the symbol of the death head hussars and all that. You don't just kind of get that and kind of,
When you're drunk and they show you the little book, which one catches your eye? You're like, well, I like that Nazi death head.
Nazi death head, it's always a good look on a chest.
I could see a butterfly or maybe an infinity sign,
death head would be much better, much better. And so he was just And now everybody's kind of blaming Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Why didn't you check this guy out? We did check him out.
We
He
didn't
was a
care.
perfect Nazi. He was our own Nazi.
Our own Nazi women abuser. Well, and it was kind of funny to me reading things like all of these people are coming out of the woodwork, including Scott Jennings from CNN and Republicans who say, hey, I talked to Mitch McConnell and I can tell you he's not brain dead. Well, I'm kind of like, wait a minute. Mitch McConnell has been brain dead for some time. I think it's
Elvis. I talked to Elvis the other day. He called in. Is this Elvis? Yeah, this is Elvis. And Jennings said, well, let's put him on the air. Come on. Come on. Let's call him if he's so compass menace. Let's hear from him. No, no, we can't do that. But
but I don't think Scott Jennings would lie.
Talked to Joe Biden, and he was sharper than he was the sharpest Bill Biden, Joe Biden, we'd ever seen. So this is the sharpest Mitch McConnell we've ever
seen in at least 10 years. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, at least 10 years.
But it's kind of funny to me to be that Mitch McConnell is not brain dead. I'm like, well, yes, he is. You might want to say he's still alive. I mean, there's that. And he could hear in a conversation. But, you know, it does kind of raise, you've had all of these various legislators, ancient ones, who like clearly they kind of wander off for a while, they disappear and they don't vote. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, they've been in
Who's the other guy? God, the representative who finally, you know, came back and said, I've been depressed.
Yeah.
I've had clinical
well,
depression.
There was the other one who was in a home for dementia patients, right? And that's like, oh, you could have mentioned that. So
you could have mentioned that. But I've just been depressed. I couldn't come to Congress, you know. I was depressed and you know what it's like to be depressed.
Well, I could see him saying, this place is depressing, even more depressing. So my doctor, I was told not to come to work anymore.
So he spent 4 months in a psych ward being depressed. I mean, they can shoot you up pretty quick, really, with some hopers. 4 months in a psych ward being depressed, you know, I suppose under suicide watch, because that tends, you know, but he's better now.
He's better now. Well, what else? Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, you know, since we're just attacking the establishment. So the Senate Republicans, headed by Cleve Simpson, and he's
Colorado
like Barb
Senate
Turnbine.
Republicans, not that it's U.S.
Colorado Senate Republicans. And they're, you know, Barb was the head of the Joint Finance Committee, so she had a lot of power, and she was always signing off on I made sure the teachers got all the pay they wanted. We made sure the educational. I made sure for you that the Red Guard teachers were fully paid and everything else. You know, oh, thanks, Barb. Thanks so much for making sure the educational budget didn't get cut any. Not for those bureaucrats. No, no, no.
Even though the education population is shrinking so much, schools are closing.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean we should decrease the bureaucracy. We can't do that. Or another day off, or you know, they need another. What's the most recent holiday they gave the federal and state workers off that we all missed? Like
I don't. It wasn't
week?
Cesar Chavez. I forget. Oh, Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, that's right. We need them off on Juneteenth because we're all better off every day they're not working.
Yeah.
It's another plus day for the average citizen. But so she did that, and then they all sign, all the Senate leaders all sign on to all the Democratic bills, and their excuse is, well, for me to sign on, I made it less worse. Yes, I did. I made it less worse for you. And of course, the Democrats are giggling down in the cafeteria, which is on the bottom floor of the Capitol, going, okay, throw in something that's really awful that we wouldn't want to ever do. And then we'll let the stupid Republicans, oh, we can't have that. Oh, great. You're a co-sponsor of this hideous legislation. So we have all these people up in the state Senate that are just awful rhinos. And they might as well be Democrats. Every once in a while, they say, we're going to fight for this, we're going to debate for 12 straight hours. And we're going, oh, you're fighting for us. You're fighting away. And so some people have said, let's put some grassroots up against some of these really awful ones. There's about, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something. And they went wild. Like, oh, my God, we could get really conservative. We do, you know. I mean, what would we do? So they raised $811,000. Which we can tell you from watching the Republican Party is a lot of money in Republican to squash and destroy these grassroots people who are annoyingly challenging us. How dare they? So they had a whole article in Rocky Mountain Voice. It's really good. I mean, Rocky Mountain Voice often doesn't have, but this article's great. And they broke down where all the money went for this amazing amount of 811, where the money came from. And the money came from apparently gambling, sports betting, FanDuel, all those. So they sold themselves out. They went to FanDuel and all the rest of them saying, you may have whatever thing, that they want to do, like not let 4-year-olds gamble and all that. Some Democrats may have a problem with it, but we in Republican leadership can squash that for you because we'll vote along. We'll do whatever you want. Just tell us how awful it has to be and give us some money. So they raised $811 from the gamblers,
$1,000.
and then they spent it. And I don't know how many times, we've been on the program. I don't know how many times they said, look, you can't say everybody go to the poll on election day. That's the biggest loser because you cannot determine who
You
hasn't
can't.
voted. So you cannot call them ahead of time. This all happens. It's the dumbest thing. And they go, no, go to the polls and lose, lose, lose. So that's good for the Republican Party generally, but for the exception is that they went out and hired two canvassing firms, paid them a fortune, and these two canvassing firms ostensibly ballot harvested against these poor little, grassroots Republicans. And they won, I think, 8 of the 9. One of them's closer, but one in Mesa County. We won one in Mesa County, notwithstanding all their ballot harvesting and everything else.
That's because the
So,
canvas and people didn't want to drive that far.
yeah, that's right. That's a,
It's hard to
how
canvas in
far
Mesa.
it is to Mesa. My God, it's Timbuktu.
Yeah. Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure, Jacob.
Sure, Jacob.
Hi, I'm back. My friend Dr. Blau is collecting signatures now to run as an independent against whatever the lady's name is in Denver, for
Oh, I
Congress.
saw that. Yeah. Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
he's your friend?
What good does that
He's a
do?
front.
You can't
What could
win.
that be, my friend? Being my
Yeah,
friend,
he's
not
got
that
no
much.
chance, zero
Well, sorry,
chance.
don't be negative. Let's talk about his friend. Yeah, so he's right. I saw that. Raising,
Okay.
trying to get the signatures to be an independent candidate
Yeah,
against the
right.
Malat.
So he's from, I told, I mean, I told his sister, I didn't tell him. First of all, the press is going to clobber you,
Yes,
and
and
he's a
ignore you.
doctor, and ignore you, and then I'm afraid that he's a doctor. It might hurt his practice, but
Yeah, sure.
but his brother works for the New York Post. So I
There
told
you
him, well,
go.
you better get him over here. You better get, to dilly, bring up a subject where the New York Post might write an article about you, even though it's not in Denver, but it may help.
Yeah, you're
But
not going to
I,
get the
I
Denver Post to do it, that's for sure.
Well,
no.
you know what, that's an actually excellent idea because I think the New York Post, because every so often they do weird Colorado stories. I mean,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
and I think the New York Post must have, I mean, the old term used to be a stringer, so they must have somebody here who writes and submits stuff for them.
Sure. No, I mean they get it off the wires and all that. But my favorite, excuse me, my favorite headline on their paper was "Headless Body Found in Topless Bar" back in the November of 1987. That
Whoa.
was a,
Beautiful.
no. You could look. You can Google it. It'll come up. But I told him, I just feel so bad for. I mean, I would vote for him, but I'm going to vote for the Republican guy.
Yeah.
Why would I?
Oh, yeah.
Why am I going to waste? So I guess it's a protest vote, but I told people, it's nice he's getting on, but you got to vote for the Republican to have any effect on it. And then you were telling me now that Marx is ahead.
Yes,
Yeah, by 2,000
right
more
now,
votes.
right, I mean, they aren't updating it as much as they used to, but as of yesterday afternoon, which is the latest the Secretary of State is posting it, he has 206,477 votes to Barb Kirkmeyer's 204,527.
Good.
That puts him up 1950, which is more than what he needs. So there won't, if it stays that kind of percentage, there won't
And they
be
won't trigger a recount.
Yeah.
A recount, yeah.
Yeah, but that, right now
Well,
they
I
can't.
hope.
And I think Marx has the much more organized, Barb Kirkmeyer is putting out emails asking for volunteers to come help cure the ballot, which they have to be done. That has to be done by midnight tonight. Victor Marx is going to give me more money so I can pay professionals to do that. I mean, you know, which is smart on his part. So
if you've ever cured ballots, the key to curing ballots is to know who voted for you, right? So you have this ballot from Joe Schmo, and it didn't have the proper address or forgot the unit number or something. But you have to know if that's one of your voters or their voters. If it's one of
Look at the registration. Look at the registration.
They would vote the Republicans in this case.
It's a Republican primary. So it's you don't know. And if it's an independent, you don't know. So you have to be organized enough. And this had to be months and months earlier, knowing your voters. Right. So you can go, oh, this is one of our voters. Let's cure it, as opposed to, I don't know what it is. Let's just cure it anyway.
I would take the chance. I'll tell you why. My wife's a Republican, and we got a letter in the mail saying we can't read your signature. She happened to have hurt her arm, so you know it's a little. So I went. I said, "What do I got to do?" He says, "You got to sign it, scan it with your driver's license, and send it back to us." It took me all of 3 minutes.
Yeah,
but it worked.
If you're going out, how do they know whether you were Barb Kirkmeyer or Scott Bottoms or
I see what you're saying.
So yeah, so
take the chance. That's it.
Well, yeah, but
you can't take a chance. That didn't do you any good. You try to get at your own voters. I mean,
but Chuck
take
is saying
a chance there, and you lose. I mean,
but what Chuck is saying, Jacob, is that you have to be organized enough as a campaign to have a pretty good list of who's donated to you, who we've had contact with, or people who are skilled enough on the phone, like you said, to pretend like they're doing a poll or something like that.
Or at least you can go, and there's some really good maps out there of each county and how each county voted. And Barb Kirkmeyer's ones were Denver and Arapahoe and Jefferson.
Look at the precinct turnout.
If it's an outlying county, it's red. So at least you have to have enough organization to go, well, it's Denver, it's probably Kirkmeyer. So, you know, do what you want.
Yeah, well, so. I'll end with this. I heard that the DOJ got a copy of all the returned ballots in 2024, and they went through the names, they went through the addresses, and they found out who is legal and who isn't legal that route. So Jenna Griswold may be charged with soliciting, you know, sending out mail, you know, ballots.
She assured us, Jacob, that no illegal people would vote in the election. She assured us
they wouldn't do that.
I think it'll be interesting to see. The DOJ is cracking down on that, and obviously it can't be Colorado because Jenna Griswold is now the attorney general, probably will be the attorney general.
Well, so she's not getting
not if she's got cuffs on.
No.
All right. Bye bye.
She'll win, but it'd be great if she were thrown into the jail.
Well, it's a back to what you were talking about then too. So Chuck, so the Rhino senators basically sold their souls to the gamblers and to the gambling sites.
And they hired the ballot harvesters.
Democrats are probably kind of, if you're a socialist, how much do you support gambling kind of, you know, I don't really know what socialist position on gambling is. I would think it would be, well, it's our money, so don't be giving it to gambling companies or corporations. But I think,
if you want to be stupid, why don't you do sports betting, because they only take like 10-15% off the top, where you have no chance of winning. And if you do win, you got to pay taxes to the federal government. So smart bet, you know, you might as well just pour it down a drain. That's why they need, you know, new blood, because it's one of the dumbest things you can do. They will only bet within your means, you know. Well, tell Phil Mickelson that. Tell all the millions or hundreds of thousands of gambling acts that are out there. Just stay within your means, and like a granny going up to Blackhawk or something. They're like heroin dealers. They're heroin dealers.
That's why they need to. That's why they need to buy off.
Unless you want to advertise in this program, in which case,
you're
a whole different deal. Then, then you're just part of the entrepreneurial spirit. It's fun. It's great.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on this Wednesday. I think next week, I think we're going to try to get Eric Grossman, the vice chair of the Republican Party, on to give us some insights as to what's going on. And obviously, by then, we'll probably have the results. So we'll be able to talk about that,
hopefully, too. Hopefully, we'll have the results by then.
Yeah. We're not California, at least not yet.
That's right.
All right. So thank you, everybody. We will see you all later.
Take care.